knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds, and patchy fog. On Sunday, the west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds, patchy fog as well. Got some current temperatures here for you. In Watsonville, it's foggy and drizzly, and it is 55 degrees. It's 59 in Salinas, and it is 55 in Monterey. We're at 55, too, here in Santa Cruz outside KSU Studios. Official time is 10:06 and 39 seconds on this August 1st, 2009, Saturday. Up next, the Saturday special, your favorite host, Michael Zwirling. Stay tuned for that. This is KSU Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James and Michael.
That was a presumptuous statement. You said your favorite host, your being the
radio
audience,
right?
Well,
if they're listening
right?
to this, they love you.
I'm not my favorite host.
Well, I didn't say you were.
I'm not. Did that come out right? I'm not my favorite host.
Oh, okay. You're not.
You know, it's all according to where you place the emphasis.
Okay.
You know, if the same words can have completely different meaning, you know, depending upon where you place the accent and the emphasis and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I learned that in elementary school many, many years ago.
And you remembered it?
I did. Because,
that's fantastic.
Because there was a cartoon, the word was, the sentence was, I'm roasting, comma, dad. And it showed the guy with sweat coming off, it was a very hot day and so forth. And then the other cartoon right next to it was, I'm roasting without the comma, and says, I'm roasting dad, and it showed the guy putting his father in a roasting pan into the oven.
How cute.
Yeah,
what a great way to remember it.
Yeah, it just means two different things.
Okay.
So anyhow, nice to see your smiling face.
You too.
Yeah, and it is, what time is it? I forgot how to tell time.
It's 7:08. Or 10:08.
10:08.
Whoa, where did I go?
That's the cue to start my show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, and everybody else listening to AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. And if it's not, it can only be because you're hearing us for the first time or that you're not very bright. Welcome to... I have to say an abrasive thing once in a while, or it wouldn't be my show, right?
True.
All right.
Do it.
Have a good one.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
So what about oil drilling off our beautiful coast? Is it about time? Seriously. Now don't get hysterical. We all love the environment. But where is it written in the Bible that offshore oil drilling is by definition bad for the environment? I'm not saying it isn't, and I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just saying it's time to talk about it. Unless we enjoy being dependent on other countries who, as John McCain would say, don't like us very much, and I would add, and who take great pleasure in hurting us. I was as opposed to offshore drilling as anyone until recently. When someone asked me why, I said I didn't like oil spills and was reminded that oil spills come from tankers, not drilling. Time to drill, yay or nay. Our topic on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Change and Hope for Everyone, Even Useful Idiots Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Permit me to introduce our not one, but two very articulate and learned guests. Francesca Barbera, summer intern for Environment California, working closely with Legislative Director Don Jacobson on marine issues. And this is from, you're from UC Davis, do I understand?
I'm from Davis. Actually,
from Davis.
I went to school at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.
And oh, my.
I am back.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you grow up in California?
Yeah, I've spent my entire life pretty much until I left right after high school in California, in Davis in particular.
Well, good. So. And so welcome to KSCO, Francesca.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I really do appreciate you. I appreciate being included in this discussion.
Fantastic. Well, great to have you here. And on the phone is Tupper Hull, who is Director of Communications for Western States Petroleum Association in Sacramento. That group, the organization represents oil companies in California and five other Western states. So let's hit the button here and lock Tupper in. Are you there, Tupper?
I am here. Good morning.
How do you do?
I do terrific, and thank you as well for having us on. We think this is an important discussion to have, and one that we appreciate your devoting the time to.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. And the reason I really appreciate having competent and articulate spokespersons from both sides of a controversial topic is that's what we used to do all the time. And I was remarking only last week on the Saturday special how difficult it has become, and I don't know why, to get representation from both sides. Usually one side or the other just doesn't want to. They say, well, who else is going to be on with me? And when you tell them, nah, I don't want to. So it's sort of like they're chicken or something, you know, or don't want to get into an argument. Now, we're not going to do that. It's going to be orderly, because if it's not, then I'm not doing a very good job as a moderator, and I have to do that. The topic is certainly of interest to everybody. And as I said in the promo, it was just a given for me to be totally against oil drilling, because who wants to even take a chance of decimating our Monterey Bay Area Marine Sanctuary, which is one of the most beautiful, pristine, natural beauty places on Earth. And yet, looking back and realizing that we're in the most desperate financial condition that I have in memory in my 57 years of being on this planet. And it really just seems crazy to continue in this mode. And so that's my position. I haven't decided. I'm absolutely for offshore oil drilling. And I thought, so this was going to be a great educational process for me as well. So, Francesca, you are against the concept of oil drilling. Why don't you tell us why?
I am, as a resident of California for over 20 years, with a brief period in there being on the East Coast. I love the ocean. I'm an ocean person. I think, like you said earlier, we have some of the most amazing, we have over 1,000 stretch of coastal shore and some of the most amazing in the nation, for sure, if not in the world. And I, you know, we are known as a great destination for travelers, for people who are on vacation. We all, as Californians, we hike, we surf, we swim, we fish, we sail. We just hang out on the beach, and I think that it's very important that we keep that.
Do we not do all those wonderful activities in places like Santa Barbara and Ventura, where, correct me if I'm wrong, there has been offshore oil drilling in operation for many years?
Yeah, there, if I'm correct, I think there are about 27 platforms in operation right now off the coast, and those are in federal waters. We, fortunately, in state waters, have had a moratorium on drilling for the last 40 years, since the catastrophic 1969 Santa Barbara oil spill. And I think that's been pretty beneficial for us, because oil spills do occur. They are frequent. It's just inherent in the industry. So I think because of that, our coasts are very pristine for that reason.
Okay. Tupper, obviously you have a different perspective.
I do.
You want to share it with us, please?
Certainly. You know, I don't think anybody in the oil industry would argue for a minute that California doesn't have a beautiful coastline and some of the most spectacular marine environment. I think that the position and political perspective in California was formed in 1969 by a really horrible accident, and one that nobody wants to diminish. But I think what's happened since then is a record of safety, commitment to environmental stewardship, and development of tremendous technological improvements in the safety,
Tupper,
of offshore.
Forgive me for interrupting here.
Yes.
I've got to apologize to our audience for my ignorance. When I made the promo, I had forgotten. In fact, a listener heard the promo and sent me an email saying, you know, MZ, all due respect, I'm really happy you're doing this program, but you indicate in the promo that spills are caused by tankers, not by drilling. You're wrong here. There was a drilling platform accident in the 60s, and I think you're talking about, that's what you're talking about now.
Correct, yeah.
And you called it a horrible accident in 1969.
It was a terrible accident.
I don't know how, I was alive in 1969. I was paying attention to the news. I totally forgot about that. So you want to bring us all up to date, please, on that
well,
horrible
accident. Well, I mean,
I'd rather...
That accident is credited with sort of giving birth to a number of significant social and political changes in the United States. It gave birth to the first Earth Day. It helped stimulate creation of the Environmental Protection Agency. It was a significant event. There was no question about it.
And what exactly did happen then?
There was a blowout of a platform that was producing oil off the coast of Santa Barbara. It resulted in many hundreds of thousands of gallons of oil being spilled, and you know, with the advent of television, the world saw a really awful accident. But let's talk about what's happened since then.
If I can jump in there for a
second. Wait. Let Francesca come in for just a second.
Yeah, I just want to include also that it was about 3 million gallons of oil that was spilled, and it closed about 150 miles of shore, and it killed over 3,600 seabirds and covered just innumerable marine animals. So from the environmental perspective, I just wanted to get some of those numbers out there for emphasis that, yes, like you said, Tupper, it was catastrophic.
Okay, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
But let's talk about what's happened since then. Since that event, over a billion barrels of oil have been produced offshore from the 27 platforms that Francesca mentioned. During that time, according to the Mineral Management Services, from those platforms, a total of 850 barrels of oil have been accidentally introduced into the marine environment. Now, that's 850 barrels too many. There's no question about that. This industry has developed a tremendous commitment to an ethic of no oil spill. But putting that in perspective, that's about 28 barrels a year. Offshore of Santa Barbara today, there are natural seeps that introduce about 55,000 barrels of oil into the marine environment every year. So this is a completely different world, a world where the technology exists today to identify and prevent problems before they happen. And we feel that, you know, given the changing political and sort of social recognition of that record, that now is appropriate time to talk about whether or not opening up some of the areas for offshore development makes sense. One of the big other technological changes is the advent of directional drilling. As you probably know, there is a permit application in. It was approved by the County of Santa Barbara, denied by the State Lands Commission, and it would have, for the first time, opened up a lease in state waters called Trankian Ridge. And that proposal proposed to develop that resource from an existing platform. There would be no new visible development above surface. Today, oil companies have the ability to drill from existing platforms 6 or 7 miles from those platforms using directional drilling technology. That proposal would have produced about $100 million in revenues to the state of California this year, and an estimated $3 to $4 billion over the life of that project. So we think that given the state's fiscal dilemma, the state's continuing and growing need for reliable energy supplies, and the industry safety record, that increasing and allowing additional offshore development makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Francesca, you were shaking your head during part of that.
I would love the oil industry to have a much better track record than it does have. And I know you brought up something about tankers. Versus oil spills off of pipelines and platforms. And, you know, just on Wednesday, actually, about 58,000 gallons of oil spilled off the coast of Louisiana into the ocean off of, like, a platform itself. And in California alone, actually off of Santa Barbara earlier this year, there have been a couple different spills. On February 19th, a bunch of soap and oil lubricants, so not oil necessarily, but other byproducts that are in the process of drilling for oil were spilled into the coast. And then also, I believe in June, there was another spill. So it's just inherent in the process, regardless of improved technology. When you drill for a liquid substance in a liquid environment into a hole in the ground, I mean, it's just going to end up being a messy, messy process. And spills are just inevitable, regardless, like I said, of the technological improvements. As far as natural seepage, the County of Santa Barbara Energy Division actually made an important distinction between natural seeps and major oil spills. And natural oil seeps occur over a very long period of time, decades and decades of time, and it spreads itself out over a large area of land. And so when a major spill occurs, it's a huge quantity of oil in a small area of land. And so the difference is that between the two, I think, is important to note. Organisms who are involved in natural seep environments have built up mechanisms to handle that kind of trauma, whereas major oil spills, that's just too much oil, too soon, too fast.
Okay. Hey, you're listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It is 22 and a half minutes past 10 a.m. We're going to open the phone lines. We encourage participation from the entire KSCO listening audience. Our phone number is area 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Our email address is mz@ksco.com. And if you want to participate via paper, not email, we've got a fax number. We still use that technology, area 831-475-2967. Now, that is located in a room by itself, so if you're going to fax us at 831-475-2967, please call Nikki here at 475-1080, our main business phone line. Let her know, give her a heads up that there's a fax waiting that she can bring into me. We have a number of callers already. The lines aren't quite filled yet, but now is a good time to call 479-1080 and participate in the Saturday Special, where our special guests today are Tupper Hull from the Western States Petroleum Association and Francesca Barbera, summer intern for the Environment California. Environment California is the name of an organization?
Environment California, yes.
Okay, great. And we're so happy to have both of these guests here with us. And if you want to talk to them yourself, give us a call. Mike in Carmel is our first caller. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Mike.
Well, hello, MZ.
Hey.
My main point here is my understanding is that the coastline north of San Luis Obispo is very unlikely to have any offshore deposits worthy of exploitation. And I wonder, Tupper Hull mentioned a Drankian Ridge, and I'd like to know where that's located.
Drankian Ridge is located down in the Santa Barbara Channel off of Vandenberg Air Force Base.
All right, so we're really not talking about developing oil off of anywhere north of San Luis Obispo, are we?
That's absolutely right. There is, of course, the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary that places the entire region of the coast off of Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay off limits. We're really talking about an area that is already developed, has substantial reserves of crude oil remaining there, about 10 billion barrels, which have been identified by the Minerals Management Services. And that's considered to be a pretty conservative estimate, given that those fields were characterized many, many years ago using a much older technology and processes than are available today.
Right. So this area is already equipped with oil. In case of a spill, there's already equipment and facilities and the infrastructure to deal with problems should there be a leak or any. In other words, we're not really talking about drilling anywhere except where the drilling's already going on. So I wonder what's the problem with the state? Is it just that our legislators are so brainwashed that they won't allow any practical revenue-enhancing activity to go on? I mean, we've got a state that our incomes is 40% down. Social service has been sliced, and everybody's complaining. but our legislators don't have enough good sense to see that this is something could generate revenue in the relatively near future?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, and our point of view is our industry has not advocated for opening up offshore oil. We believe that it makes sense, but for many, many years in California, you know, the political environment was one that just, it was a non-starter. And I think there's a new generation of Californians, people who did not live through and experience that terrible accident in 1969, who have watched, you know, dependable energy supplies being brought to consumers in California in a safe and responsible manner. And now is the time to revisit this issue. But you're absolutely right. One of the unique characteristics of this discussion in California is, given this new technology we're talking about and the safety record of the industry, we're talking about bringing enormous additional supplies of crude oil to a state that continues to demand more and more energy without any significant new infrastructure and using the technology that's proved to be very safe.
So you're talking about using existing platforms to do slant
Correct.
Drilling?
Correct. Trampian Ridge would be developed from Platform Irene, which is a platform operated by PXP Petroleum Company, directionally drilling into a new reserve of oil, one that is adjacent to a federal lease they currently have.
Well, it doesn't seem realistic to put obstacles in the way of this kind of development. And thanks for speaking
okay.
with me.
Appreciate your call.
I'd love to jump in there if I can.
Oh, okay, sure. Please.
You'll have to let me know if I'm overstepping my boundaries.
It's okay. That's fine.
Right
no,
now.
No, feel free. We're real informal
okay.
around here.
Okay. I just like to address a couple points also and kind of shoot in my end of the story. But as far as the existing platform goes, so as I am familiar, the PXP deal plans to slant drill into state waters. And I was there on the assembly floor and they were actually discussing this. And some of the assembly members brought up the concern that this was going to open the door to more offshore oil drilling. You know, I think it's
like the nose under the tent type thing.
Exactly, like they've got their foot in the door. And so it's one of those situations. And I know there was also a lot of concern with enforcement. So I know there are a lot of environmental provisions that were a claim with this proposal. But I think a big concern with some of the assembly members was regarding the ending of the contract and whether that could be sold to another oil company, and it's actually a question I personally have myself, and whether how enforcement would work in that sense. But as far as slant drilling into state waters, drilling is drilling, and there's no getting around the cause of the huge potential for a spill when you drill, like I said, for a liquid substance in a hole in a liquid environment, that it's just terribly messy and that there's a lot of potential. So I think, you know, you can kind of paint the picture however you want to, but essentially it's drilling is drilling and it's still dirty. And then as far as the oil companies not wanting to advocate offshore oil, I mean, I can't imagine that the oil companies don't want to advocate offshore oil. I think they have the opportunity to make billions and billions on this deal. And I think it's kind of an interesting statement that someone in the oil industry would say that they don't want to advocate it. You know, I'm an econ major. I don't know why you wouldn't want to advocate it. It's going to benefit you in the future. So I think that the oil industry is definitely advocating for offshore oil drilling because it's going to work for them. Then I also think there's a serious conflation between American oil industry and Americans and Californians and drilling off the California coast. Drilling off the California coast isn't going to bring, it's going to bring the state revenue because they will, I guess, I think 100 million or so. I don't really know the details, but I think 100 million per year for 10 years. But the oil companies are actually going to be the ones who are making the profit. They're drilling this crude oil for themselves, which they're going to sell back to Americans, back to Californians on the world market along with everybody else in the world to buy. So I just want to kind of clarify that kind of conflation. I think it's used in a lot of rhetoric that makes a kind of I mean, it's definitely a statement that I think can be kind of confusing, but that it's definitely going to, I mean, the oil industry will be able to profit so much, billions and billions of dollars off of our coast for, and we will get a certain amount of that money for a certain period of time, but then once the contracts expire and they leave and if there's a disastrous spill, the state is then responsible for years and years and years of, like, cleanup. And I think if you just look at Exxon Valdez, I know that was years ago, but the oil industry was still using the statement of technology and that claim back then that technology had improved when that spill occurred. And they're still to this day, what is it, 22, 25 years later, cleaning up that spill. So I think Overall, and oil
forgive
drilling
me. Was that a drilling? Everybody remembers Valdez, but
that was
I don't
a
remember.
Incident.
I don't.
That was a tanker.
Okay, so I'm right about.
Yeah, that was definitely a tanker incident, but I think it's important to know that also we have to transport this oil somehow back to the coast. So it's either going to be through pipelines or tankers. And like I mentioned earlier, this
year
alone,
the tankers are going to come anyhow from Saudi Arabia or wherever.
But we don't want to increase the possibility and the potential for that to happen. And with the and like I said earlier, this year alone, there have been plenty of incidents off of platforms, off of pipelines that have spilled into the water. It's just something that I think we should really avoid. And as you know,
what
as an
about the idea? And Tupper, maybe you can give us some technical information about this. What about a drilling in a non-liquid and non-populated environment? You know, when I drive on Highway 101, you know, between Santa Cruz and Los Angeles, from the time I was a little kid, you know, there are places like San Ardo that have, you know, oil drilling, you know, monsters there, you know. And this is, these are operating in places where there can't be an oil spill in a liquid environment because it's not a liquid environment. People don't talk about that, about expanding. Why not drill in the Mojave Desert, for example? Why not drill in other, maybe because there are no oil deposits. I don't know.
Well, that's
what can you
probably
tell us about
the
that?
Case. I mean, I suspect that's the case. You know, if I could just go back, and I appreciate that this is a topic that seems to generate sort of very strong emotional reactions, and your guest there is reflecting, I think, some opinions and attitudes that we recognize exist, and you know, I think they're unfortunate. Let's stop for just a minute. We have a state that consumes about 40 to 45 million gallons of gasoline and 10 to 12 million gallons of diesel fuel every day. That's just a reality. About 30% of that we're able to produce here in California. The balance comes either from Alaska or foreign countries. A lot of it from Saudi Arabia. We get a fair amount from Iraq and Ecuador and Brazil. Now,
what portion, do you know what portion comes from outside of the USA?
Yeah, I can tell you that. I mean, right now...
That's very interesting here, and that's critical.
We're getting 37.2% of the oil that we process in California for energy supplies comes from within the state.
We consume?
Well, 37% of what... Well, California produces... 37% of the oil that we process. We process, the refineries in California produce gasoline and diesel fuel for California consumers as well as a share of the consumers in Arizona and Nevada and some in Oregon. The vast majority of which, though, is consumed in this state.
Okay.
But to get back to your question, in 2007, 48% of the oil that we used in California came from foreign countries. The biggest source of oil for California was Saudi Arabia, about 12%, you know, of the imported oil. Iraq was a big source, Ecuador, Brazil, and then the list goes down. You know, our view is California's economy, California's consumers need energy. Oil companies are in the forefront of developing a more diverse energy portfolio with alternative and renewable fuels. The reality is, according to the best projections, by 2030, you know, despite tremendous increases in the amounts of renewables and alternatives, they're still going to only provide about 11% of our energy needs. Fossil fuels are going to be a huge source of energy for a very long time, even while we make this transition to a host of new energy sources. So we have to be realistic about what this economy is going to need to continue to thrive. It's going to be energy, and a great portion of that energy is going to come from fossil fuels. We believe it makes sense to develop fuels here at home that we have that are dependable. They're within our control. They're not under the control of companies that are not particularly friendly, as you mentioned, to the United States. They don't have to be transported here great distances in tankers. And as I've said, and will continue to say, and can be brought to consumers in a way that's not jeopardizing to the environment. We've demonstrated that over the past 40 years.
Okay. You are listening to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO. You can call us and become part of the program. Phone number is 479-1080. That's in area 831. You can email us, mz@ksco.com. I do have my email open here, and we have a number of people who have sent us emails. And I think we have space for one more caller before we are, before the board, actually two more callers before the board is full to capacity. And it's 24 minutes before 11 a.m., hour number one of the Saturday Special. We will be on the air right up until noontime. The topic today is offshore oil drilling. Has the time come to lift the ban on offshore oil drilling in order to help us compete economically in the world? So want to hear, that's our topic for today. We got two terrific guests, Francesca Barbera from the Environment California, summer intern, working closely with the legislative director Dan Jacobson on marine issues. Also have Tupper Hull, who is a director of communications for Western States Petroleum Association, that's in Sacramento, and that organization represents oil companies in California and five other Western states. So let's take our first caller now. That would be, actually our second caller, Evergreen in San Jose, Santa Cruz rather. Evergreen, a person named Evergreen.
Yes.
Okay.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To Saturday Special.
Good morning.
Hey.
I think we're missing the boat. Mr. Tupper obviously is supporting the position for the oil companies that have a vested interest in staying with their so-called technology. But how about all the technologies that have been suppressed? I mean, there are cars that we have buses running around town that will run on compressed natural gas, and there's electric cars. I don't know. It seems to me like the oil companies have a vested interest in keeping those kind of technologies down. There's horror stories throughout the ages of people who had carburetors that would get 85 miles to the gallon. The patent was bought up and then shelved and never used. And I know of several people who actually have invented cars that actually run on water by electrolysis, separating the water and then recombining it to produce power. And there's all kinds of technologies that are being kept down, and the people are being kept held back by not being able to develop those kinds of cleaner-burning technologies. I actually run a car on biodiesel, and I love it. I think it would be a real boon for the farmers to grow oilseed crops, and there's something called switchgrass that can be used to just a waste grass that can be used to convert to biodiesel and ethanol and that sort of thing. You don't even have to use corn. But also, it'll be a huge impact on the tourist industry here in California. The whole western Pacific coast here is all the way from San Diego, well, maybe all the way from Ensenada, all the way to, gosh, Portland, is a beautiful touristed. What about the loss of industry from tourism? If there are, I actually am old enough to have seen the horror that happened in Santa Barbara when those oil rigs leaked. And, I'm 62 years old, so I saw that happen. I was down there when it happened, helped clean up. But why are we focusing on staying with this old technology and glorifying the technology that's pretty much outlived its usefulness? Why don't we focus on developing new technologies and allow inventors to develop better technology for powering vehicles.
Gotcha. Why don't we, Tupper?
Well, we are doing that, as I mentioned. And Evergreen, with all due respect, I have to say the urban myths of the 85 mile an hour carburetor have been around for decades and decades and decades. And of course, if somebody had an 85 mile per hour carburetor, I dare say they would probably have cornered the market a long time ago.
Not if their patent.
Interestingly enough, I mean, he mentioned compressed natural gas. Of course, natural gas is produced offshore California in the same wells that are producing crude oil. And natural gas has huge applications. It's the principal source of electrical energy generation.
Prudhoe Bay, mega reserves in Prudhoe Bay, are those being tapped? What about that new deposit they found in Utah, Colorado, and what's that other state that's adjoining? There's a huge, it may be tar sands, I'm not sure, but there's a huge deposit that was found in Utah, maybe Indian land, I don't know, but there's a huge deposit that was discovered inland in Utah, Colorado, northern Colorado, southern Utah.
Evergreen, you sound like a not in my backyard type person.
Not in my backyard?
Yeah.
No.
It's okay if it's some other state and so forth, but
no. Well, no. I'm just saying there's all these other reserves. Why are we focusing on questionable reserves off the coast of California when it could possibly destroy the tourism and it holds back the development of other technologies? I mean, there was, you know, about Paul Pantone. You can Google Paul Pantone. He was an inventor who had invented an engine that ran on water, and he was jailed, and he almost died in there. Anyway, you can look the story up.
I'd like to just, I appreciate the call, and I do think that offshore oil drilling does run contrary to California's vision. I think our governor has really put forth this incredible vision for California that's very progressive as far as the lowest greenhouse gas emissions, trying to reduce that. Really supporting the idea of new cars that run on greener fuels.
I love burning biodiesel. It's such a pleasure to have a place at the green station down here to go and actually be able to fuel up. The car burns cleaner, quieter, smoother, and actually more powerful with better fuel.
Where is the green station, Evergreen?
It's at the corner of Ocean and Soquel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for your call to the Saturday special, okay?
Absolutely.
Appreciate
sure.
it. Hey, Nikki, I think we got a commercial break to do now. Why don't we do it? We've got Lizzie, a new caller on a cell phone. We got Rory, we got Brookdale Mike, we got Asa, we got Tupper. Well, Tupper's the guest here. And we have Ray in Cap. So all of you gang, hang on. We'll get to you right after this break. Thanks.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
My name is Kim Watson. I shop at Scotts Valley Market because I love their produce and their variety of everything, wines and pastas and deli and meats and prepared foods. The cheese selection is wonderful.
Oh, for the produce quality, for the meat quality, everything's top-notch in the store. Convenience is close to my house as well. So for those reasons, absolutely. It's a local market, so I try to support the local business.
My name is Carol. Well, I come to the Ben Lomond Market because, first of all, I live a few blocks away, and it's wonderful to live close enough to a store that has terrific produce and a great butcher. And I can walk to. One can count on finding good produce here all the time.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
For 10 years, Etherick Networks has been bringing the fastest affordable internet access to the Monterey Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and Silicon Valley. For your home, your home office, or business, ride the lightning bolt with Etherick Networks.
Hi, it's Bill Graff, KSCO's production and technical director. You know, for 15 years, I've had to put up with dial-up internet service at my house. Then one of my neighbors found Etherick Networks. Well, they came out, did a site survey of the neighborhood, and figured out a way to get high-speed internet to all of our neighbors. We are all phenomenally happy. It's blazing fast, it never drops out, and it's the same super fast speed up and down.
With speeds 10 to 100 times faster than T1 cable or DSL, Etherick Networks flies past the competition. Even in areas where you thought you were stuck with dial-up, you don't have to live with slow internet. Upgrade with Etherick Networks. Call 877-541-3905 or on the web, etherick.net.
Today we're talking to people about their Husqvarna 455 Rancher chainsaws. Up first is Tom. How's that 455, Tom?
Lots of power!
Next is Paul. How is it, Paul?
Great performance!
And finally, Bob. Cut smooth! We couldn't have said it better ourselves. Master your great outdoors with the 455 Rancher Chainsaw and all of Husqvarna's professionally proven outdoor power equipment.
When you work the land, you need power. Hello, I'm Lowell Webb, owner of Webb's Farm Supplies. Whether you're a professional or not, Webb's Farm Supplies is your one-stop shop for all things power. Saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, tillers, and parts for anything and everything, new or obsolete. And don't forget our service department. Make your work easy with a quick drive up to 5381 Old San Jose Road. In one location for over 100 years and a proud member of Think Local First. We are Webb's Farm Supplies, 475-1020, 475-1020, or visit webbsfarmsupplies.com.
Sensuous and enchanting Mediterranean dining in Scotts Valley. Hi, I'm Aldina, owner of In Vino Veritas. It is our intention for your dining experience to be exceptional. We live life with passion and believe you will taste the difference in our food.
Hi, this is Rock. Join us at In Vino Veritas for dining, all day, and evening entertainment. Wednesdays, there is wine tasting. Thursdays and Fridays, we offer half-price wine and hors d'oeuvres. And on Thursdays, we offer complimentary acoustic rock music.
Experience passion for life and food at In Vino Veritas Mediterranean Restaurant. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, In Vino Veritas is located in Kings Village behind Nob Hill in Scotts Valley. Call 831-461-0851. 831-461-0851.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
I hear Chicago and you. It's not the karaoke version, huh?
No, I think Chicago does great.
Is there not a karaoke version of it?
Oh, there might be.
Find it.
Oh, really?
Sure. We've got to have some
I'll
fun on the
look
program.
For it. Hey, yeah, it's fun to have backup singers.
Not all seriousness, right?
Yeah, that's
Alrighty.
True.
Welcome back, gang, to the Saturday special, hour number one on your favorite radio station. We got Tupper Hull. Who is Director of Communications for Western States Petroleum Association, representing oil companies in California and five other states. We also have Francesca Barbera, a young summer intern for Environment California. We're talking about oil drilling off the coast. It's been banned for about 40 years here in California. New oil, expansion of oil drilling has been banned, and we're putting out the question, in light of the economy and in light of the fact that we seem to be enriching a lot of the countries around the world that don't like us very much, shouldn't we revisit this whole question and maybe lighten up a little bit? Apparently, the Monterey Bay Area Marine Sanctuary is protected forever from oil drilling. I'm not positive of that, but I believe that's the case. And it's not that we're talking. We're not talking about all of a sudden seeing oil derricks off Monterey Bay. But what we are talking about is more drilling than there has been to take advantage of the oil reserves that are not being tapped here in our own country. So, I got to say something. During the last two or three years when there was a tremendous increase in the price of fuel, gasoline and diesel and so forth, and the oil companies reported absolute record earnings, record profits, I think that was just at the expense of all of the people. I just think that was really terrible. And Tupper, you know, you work for these companies, and I'm sort of a conservative guy. I own a conservative radio station here, but I just think that's unconscionable what happened. You know.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, very briefly.
I mean, that was an era. That was a difficult year for us, certainly, and for consumers, and it had to do with a extraordinary demand as the economies of Asia and China were just booming. The United States economy was growing strong, and there was tremendous pressure put on the market to provide energy supplies. That caused this extraordinary increase in the price of crude oil. The companies that you saw that were reporting those very large revenue figures were the companies that had large reserves of crude oil. Profits that they were reporting were not being generated from gasoline and diesel sales. They were being generated from the sale of the crude oil supplies they had. Now, I know that those numbers that were reported were very, very large. There's no question about that. The reality is the profits that oil companies made on average during 2008 were in the range of 7 to 8 cents per dollar of sales. And that put them a little bit above the average for the American manufacturing sector. Now, why all the controversy? Because these companies are huge companies. They have huge operations around the world. ExxonMobil is probably the largest private sector business entity on the face of the earth. However, the profit margins, as you described them, were not out of line with what the typical manufacturing business in the United States makes. So, you know, you can what's conscionable, what's unconscionable. The reality is when you saw those very, very high retail prices, the portions of the business that refined
return on investment, it wasn't all that much greater than anything, any return on investment. Maybe
right,
a little
so, you know, five, and I think that the first quarter of 2009, they were the net profits were around 5 to 5.5 cents per dollar of sales. So it's a highly cyclical business. If you recall, there was an era back in the 90s when, you know, not too many 401k advisors were telling people to put their money in oil companies. It was a terrible business because the returns were not good.
That's a good point. Okay.
And the interesting thing is, I mean, as we talk about this, oil companies' investment timelines are measured in decades. They make investments in infrastructure that are 20, 30, 40, and 50 years out, and they have weathered energy and business and global recessions over and over again. They're very forward-looking, make very long-term investments.
Wait a minute. You disappeared. You stopped talking.
I did.
Why did you stop talking?
To say.
Oh, okay. Now wait just a second here.
I realized I perhaps was taking.
It's okay, and we had a caller on the line from Point Richmond, which is my favorite place, probably one of my favorite places on earth here. And there is a oil refinery in Point Richmond. And just as you abruptly stopped talking, that caller from Point Richmond dropped off the line. And I wonder if there's a relation here. I don't know. Anyhow, you want to say something, Francesca. Go ahead and say it.
Well, I'll take the place of that caller. And I just want to point out that in 2004, Exxon profits were $8 billion. In 2008, there were $40 billion. Exxon and other oil companies have been consistently beating their profits year after year. And I don't think there's anything cyclical about that. And maybe I'm wrong, but it's hard to imagine the average business makes that kind of profits. I think a manufacturing industry lately has really, really suffered. And I think the oil industry has become increasingly more having more profit. So I think that's an interesting point to also bring up. And I'll end there.
Okay. I want Marjorie from Point Richmond to call back here. We have a line open at 831-479-1080. Let's go back to the phones. Lizzie, the new caller who's been waiting and waiting. Lizzie, welcome to KSCO. You're on. Thanks for waiting.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you for having this subject on the air for everyone to participate. My question today is for Tupper, and I would like to know what you mentioned earlier that the state of California could benefit by about $100 million a year. Am I correct? by doing some extra drilling out of Santa Barbara. I would like to know about the maximum the state of California could gain in revenues if we would open it up to more drilling.
Wait a minute.
For the state of California.
Are you talking about drilling in the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary? Surely you
not
can't be included.
Not a bit. No, not a bit.
Okay.
I'm talking about solely the Santa Barbara, which has the proven reserves, which already has an infrastructure. I'm interested in increasing the revenue for the state of California.
Well, there was a study done. That's a good point. There was a study done by ICF, which is a very credible national consulting agency that looked at all of the areas that were currently or until recently off limits from on the outer continental shelf. And in the Pacific region, that's the entire west coast of the United States. But the reality is, if you look at the maps of the proved oil reserves, they're all in the area that we know about, down in the Santa Barbara Channel and off of Los Angeles County and Orange County. ICF estimated over 30 years of production, the reserves could generate as much as $12 billion in new government revenue. Now, that's not all to the state of California. If it's in federal waters, oil companies that lease oil reserves from the federal government pay bonus payments. They pay royalty payments in the tune of billions and billions of dollars. So I don't have the figure, unfortunately, for what state of California could generate, but it is a tremendous source of revenue, a potential revenue, for both the state, federal, and local governments down there.
Okay, my second question is, again, for Tupper. Based on what the California consumes in oil each year, is there an opportunity for California to completely support itself on the reserves off Santa Barbara?
Great question.
Probably not completely support itself. What we figured is that you could replace, if you produced the known reserves, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, the known reserves are considered, are quite likely very, very conservative. But if you put those into production to the tune of about 600 or 800,000 barrels a day, which is not an unreasonable amount, it's a substantial increase over what's taking place now, but it's not an unreasonable amount, you could replace all of the imports from Saudi Arabia for 30 years.
Okay, well, that's what I'm looking at, because, you know, it's so important for us to learn to support ourselves. And I believe in a good environment. Everyone does. But we have to be practical at some point. Either the people move out of the United States or they learn to support themselves instead of getting resources from other countries.
I like this new caller, Lizzie.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it really doesn't. And I think the state of California and the voters are really trying to think about supporting themselves, earning their own way, and not having to borrow from other people, whether it's resources or money. And I think that, you know, the citizens are feeling the same way.
I actually agree with this caller also. I do think we need to find ways to be independent and provide for ourselves. I think that's why clean energy and renewable resources are so crucial and important to develop, because the figures also point out that the PXP deal would probably give California less than 2 years of oil, and then that's it. It's gone. And then the other point is that the oil that's being drilled off the California coast isn't going to California. It's going to be sold on the international market to everybody else in the world. And the U.S. exports about 25% of its oil. So I think that's important to remember, that just because drilling happens off our coast doesn't mean California gets it. The land is leased, and California gets money from the leased property. But the oil itself and the profits of that oil aren't going to go to California. I think the only way to really pave a new bright economic future for California is to invest in renewable resources. I mean, we have a state that's been blessed with so much sun, and I think really being able to capture that kind of solar would give us much more reliable energy for the future.
Now, that's good. Now, who can argue with that? Investing
well,
in
I can
solar?
Argue with that.
Oh, you
for
can?
A couple of reasons.
Oh,
one of the reasons. Well,
let's wait till hour number two, because there's plenty of time to argue. We've got all these callers who
well,
are waiting.
Well, can I just correct? I mean, there was an outrageous statement that 25%.
Just
hold
on to it, because we got to go to the news.
All right.
It's 11 o'clock here at KSCO, okay. Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Barnes. One of New York's big three airports open again following a morning bomb scare that left many travelers delayed and upset.
Sure I'm upset. I wanted to be in Mexico drinking margaritas this evening.
LaGuardia Airport's main terminal evacuated after a man walked in with a bag full of wires and batteries intended to look like a bomb. Identified by police as Scott McGann of New York, he faces numerous charges now. The U.S. death toll rising as it steps up activity in Afghanistan. Three American soldiers were killed early Saturday in two blasts in southern Afghanistan. That's the center of the Taliban-led insurgency. Iran is confirming it's holding three Americans, it says, crossed into its territory from northern Iraq. Iran State TV reporting the two men and a woman failed to heed warnings from Iranian guards. Kurdish officials in Iraq say the three are simply tourists who made a mistake in a mountainous area. A State Department official says the U.S. is working through a Swiss liaison to find out more from Iranian officials. A Guantanamo terror detainee dead in an apparent suicide, according to U.S. officials, but some are asking how he could have managed to strangle himself inside the military prison's closely watched mental ward. U.S. officials are releasing no further details, though, about the Yemeni man's death on Friday. Congress may bolster the cash for Clunker's account, but some are against it. Meanwhile, some dealers are backing away from the program, as we hear from Fox's Caroline Shively.
Dealers say submitting the paperwork online is a nightmare, and since they pay out the rebate on the spot but don't get reimbursed by the government until later, dealers worry they might be on the hook for the money. Yesterday, the House rushed to put another $2 billion into the program. The Senate takes that measure up next week, but fiscal conservatives say it's a government handout.
A minor earthquake rattling southeastern Tennessee this morning. It was also felt in western North Carolina and northern Georgia, a magnitude of just 3.2. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk celebrates Woodstock plus 40.
Clubhouse is all you need if you got love. I tell you.
John Sebastian was a 60s superstar as leader of Love and Spoonful, but was beginning to perform and record as a solo artist. He went to Woodstock originally to be an observer, but they brought him up on stage as we all remember him in his tie-dye jeans outfit and his solo guitar performance.
You know, it's funny. I never planned to perform in the outfit that I wore to Woodstock because I didn't plan to play Woodstock. I was going as a member of the audience, and as I recall, Chip Monk was the first guy who said, we need somebody to hold them with an acoustic guitar so we can sweep the water off the stage, and you're elected. And that was how I got my job at Woodstock.
Stay tuned for more Woodstock Plus 40 on Fox News Talk.
The president, with the economy on his mind in his weekly address.
As I've said before, it will take many more months to fully dig ourselves out of a recession.
But saying we'd be worse off without the stimulus package, the president also commended lawmakers for progress on a health care bill in the House. Republicans, meanwhile, tapped Senator John Thune of South Dakota to talk against the president's vision for health care reform.
We put forth proposals that will cut costs and improve care. And we can accomplish health care reform while keeping patients and their doctors in charge, not bureaucrats and politicians.
A five-story building collapsing in southern Pakistan. Karachi authorities say at least 16 people were killed, most of them women and children. If you are savvy about how you use your credit card, you could be in for some big rewards. Fox News Radio's Brett Larson has the details.
If you're careful about using your credit card, you can reap the rewards.
I've been using them for restaurant gift cards. That I use sometimes, my husband and I will use to go out.
Tracy Lobdell uses her credit card and pays the balance monthly to maximize her bonus points. A good idea, according to Jim Randell, author of The Skinny on Credit Cards.
If you have a card with anything more than a nominal annual fee, you're not using the card intelligently.
Stay on the credit card's website when you pay your bill to find out about new deals the card is offering.
Right now, they're offering, I believe, double points back on grocery purchases and gasoline purchases.
Websites like Bankrate.com will help you find credit cards that offer the best rewards. Who knows, your trip to the grocery store or gas station could add up to a trip out of town. Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
And swimmer Michael Phelps has become the first to break 50 seconds in the 100-meter butterfly. Did that today at the World Championships. And in doing so, he beat out the same Serbian swimmer that he edged out in last year's Olympics. Well, I'm Chris Barnes, and this is Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSU 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. We got some fog and clouds this morning, but it's going to clear up to mostly sunny skies with a high of 69. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, partly cloudy, low of 53. West-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Sunday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies, high of 69. West-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, we got west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. And tonight, west winds 10 to 20 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds. And Sunday, we got west winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less with a west swell 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds. Patchy fog as well. Current temperatures, we got 57 in Watsonville, 56 degrees in Monterey, and 61 in Salinas. We're at 57 here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 11:06 and 24 seconds on this Saturday, August 1st, 2009. Up next, we got Saturday Special with MZ, second hour. Stay tuned, KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
August 1st, how did that happen so fast?
I have no idea.
It was January 1st, 5 minutes ago.
It snuck up on us.
I don't know what to do.
All right.
I'm so excited. The Point Richmond caller sent an email. Okay, and it says Marjorie Weingart. It says, sorry my call was dropped. I tried calling back and the line was busy. That's true, because our lines have been jammed almost since the beginning, right, Nikki? I want to thank you for bringing this to the forefront. I also want to thank you for bringing an intern on your show who was so knowledgeable and competent holding her own on this very controversial topic. Living in Point Richmond with the Chevron refinery in our backyard, there was a huge controversy and discourse with the resident community and the Chevron refinery. Continued communication and looking at both sides is important. Also, living in Point Richmond and every day looking at the beautiful skyline of San Francisco Bay, it is a constant reminder to me that we need to do what we can to take every step possible to look at renewable energy and protect our beautiful environment. That's signed Marjorie. Thank you, Marjorie, for emailing the Saturday Special, and look forward to hearing you call and not have your call dropped. pardon me. Oh, we have to welcome. Do we have a K's commentary? We have a world premiere of a new K's commentary, do we? Okay. Should I start hour number two first with the hour? Is that the way we do it? I forgot. Okay, good. Let me see. Let me push this slider up here and then go over here and hit this little mouse button and make this sound.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
I don't know about you, gang, but all the years that oil drilling has been prohibited off the California coast, I've been very, very thankful. But now maybe we should change.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And we will continue our civil discussion of offshore oil drilling, yay or nay, after the world premiere of the latest K's commentary. Take it away, Nikki.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Our president in the last 6 months has us reeling with the swiftness of far-out laws which will indebt our grandchildren for many years. Laws which our Congress does not even have time to read before they vote. Everything is in a panic and not thought out well. Now comes a law so vicious and evil that former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee and Human Events, a credible conservative weekly, will try to expose and defeat. And because I feel so deeply against this evil law, I will help to get the information out out before Obama and the Congress ram it through quietly and quickly. So, dear listeners, in July 2007, Barack Obama promised a group of his supporters that if elected president, he would sign perhaps the most evil piece of legislation in the history of our republic. It's called the Freedom of Choice Act, or FOCA, F-O-C-A. But don't let the title fool you, because it's not about freedom of choice at all, and it's about forcing every American to support abortion on demand, not just as a fundamental right, but as a taxpayer-funded entitlement. But the compulsion would not stop there, because FOCA would also assault the conscience rights of doctors, nurses, and hospitals that oppose abortion on religious or moral grounds, forcing them to provide abortion or face professional decertification, loss of funding, lawsuits, and even prosecution. This is unadulterated blackmail. Make no mistake, FOCA is the most radical piece of pro-abortion legislation ever proposed, one that would go far beyond Roe v. Wade in making abortion a government-protected and taxpayer-supported right. That's why we're asking you to be alert and make an effort to stop this outrageous piece of legislation before it even reaches the president's desk. In his 2007 campaign pledge to Planned Parenthood members, Obama promised that signing FOCA would be the first thing he would do as president. The only reason he has not followed through on that promise is that the Democratic Congress has yet to introduce and pass it because, at this moment, they have bigger fish to fry. In a nutshell, here is what this despicable law will do. Number one, it will establish abortion as a fundamental right, elevating it to the same status as the right to vote and the right to free speech. Number two, what they want to do is eliminate every restriction on abortion nationwide. Number three, they want to compel taxpayer funding of abortion through state and federal welfare programs, federal employee insurance plans, and in military hospitals. And finally, number four, they want to force faith-based hospitals and health care facilities to perform abortions and force doctors and nurses to provide counseling and referral for abortions. In a democracy, the government does not force private institutions. Please be alert about FOCA. Inform your friends and tell Congress, no, this is an abominable law, and we the people emphatically reject it. These types of laws do not fit in a democratic society. They fit in socialism and communism, and that is precisely where Obama is taking us. Are we going to sit still and let him steal our country as we know it? I say, hell no. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Okay, we officially start hour number two discussing offshore oil drilling. I want to thank my mom for that new commentary here. Definitely speaks her mind, right? And I happen to agree with everything that that she said on that particular one. So there's quite a number of emails here. Hey, MZ, you and your guest touched on a topic of tankers moving the crude across oceans. This is not only more risky in terms of oil spills, but burns tons of oil, which creates CO2 and supposedly the globe is warming because of man-made CO2. Drill here and drill now. Please expand if possible. Thanks, Neil in Seascape. Okay, Neil in Seascape. Edgar Darwin, fish and oil. I have heard that before oil drilling, clumps of oil would sometimes wash up on the beaches of Santa Barbara. So a certain amount of oil spillage appears to be a natural phenomenon. And also, apparently, fish just love oil rigs. One of the most productive fisheries in the U.S. is in the Gulf of Mexico, which is also one of the biggest producers of domestic crude. The fishing boats there carry big rig hooks, in quotes, so the fishermen can hook up to the numerous oil platforms. This boon to the environment may very well offset the feared dangers. And, again, that's from E.A. Darwin. MZ at KSCO.com. is our email address. Here's another one from Joe. Hey, Mike, what new technology exists that might be economically feasible as a replacement for oil? Wind, solar, hydrogen, other? Without offering a solution to the dependency on oil, what's the purpose of the argument? What's the purpose of the argument? I don't know. I think all of those are some, but we're not... Guess I don't understand that. And it's signed Joe Zinski, Thailand. Does that mean you're listening to us in Thailand, Joe? I mean, anything is possible.
I'm impressed.
Oh, wait a second. What did you say?
Oh, I'm impressed with Thailand.
Okay, that's Francesca, one of our guests. Let's bring our other guest, Tupper. Tupper Hull here. Let's bring you back in and lock you in. You there, Tupper?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Welcome back. Been having a spirited discussion on oil drilling, yay or nay. Paul in Carmel Valley, you're next on the KSCO special. Thanks for waiting.
Josh, you know, I love your mom's commentary. Those are so great. And you, Mr. Z, producing these kinds of open forums for people like us, as well as your guests, to come and discuss these things is just absolutely amazing. And I
Well, thank you. We got to give Rosie the credit for this one, because she came up with the idea on Monday, and I said, that's great. That's great. Do it. Make it happen. And she did. We got two really good people. And that hasn't happened in a long time. So, anyhow, okay, thanks for the thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, as I sit here and listen, I just keep making new notes. The best thing, though, is that let's also not forget about jobs. You know, it's nice to look at these new solar and environmentally safe kind of places, but, you know, it takes fuel to make those. Make those products. It takes fuel to transport those products. It takes fuel to manufacture those products. You know, everybody wants to talk about electrical vehicles, but that energy just doesn't come. It may come out of the wall, but it takes fuel to make that electricity. It may not be right there in the immediate area of where you're getting your electricity, but it's either coal fuel or oil fuel or some other kind of fuel. Because, once again, they won't let us use nuclear fuel because we have the same kind of problems that we have with oil drilling. They don't want us to do it. There's good, safe ways of being able to do it. Now, is it 100% proof? Well, nothing is 100% proof. Nothing is 100% safe. Can we limit as much of our liabilities? Yes. We will try and use science to limit those accidents as best as possible. Is it still being made by humans? Yes. So there will always be an error. But by not drilling those supplies, we do allow others to control our environment and our way of life. And that is what people, I think, need to start really looking at is that we have an opportunity to take control of our life.
Now, who can argue with that? Can you, Francesca?
I can bring up the point that I know Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor, I know he recently changed his position on oil drilling, but he has consistently said that even if we started drilling off the coast of Santa Barbara tomorrow, we won't actually see we may not see production start for 10 years, for a decade or more. So I think in terms of jobs, that definitely brings up the point, will it actually help? And if so, how much? And I think that there are a lot of job opportunities and benefits in other sources of energy like solar and wind. And I think that could be a very great market also.
Yeah, but Francesca, understand, this is the reason why we don't have it today. It's because they wouldn't let us do it 10 years ago. They wouldn't let us do it 20 years ago. We probably would be in full production. We would have more refineries in the state of California, which is actually where the real money is made, is in the refinery, not in the sweet crude. It's actually in the refineries because there are so many limited refineries that they can charge anything they want because either you go to one of 12 or you don't have a place to go. by having more refineries and having more locations that are actually more productive, that creates competition, that lowers the price. And it's because of the restrictions that we have imposed on ourselves. You know, let's talk about government. Who's government? Government, that Francesca, that's you. That's me. That's Tupper. That's Z. We are the government. And we need to start looking at saying, you know, is this going to be a long-term goal? Now, granted, we may be able to go ahead and do oil production right now. 10 years from now, we actually see the wealth of that production. However, hopefully by then, we may not have to use as much because maybe all the alternative energies will start being coming online. So, but if we don't do it today, 10 years from now, we're not going to have anything more than what we have today.
And they were talking like this in during the Arab oil embargo in 1974. No one's done a damn thing because the price of oil went, because the prices went down or didn't rise as much or whatever. I don't know about us people, folks. I don't know.
Well, Michael, if I can jump in here, I wanted to correct something that Francesca said that is important to correct. She made a statement about 25% of the U.S. or California oil being exported. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And I got to tell you, that is not the case. And that goes to the very heart of this whole discussion. I mean, in California, we currently import about 50% of the oil. In the U.S., it's close to 70%. Every drop of oil that's produced off the coast of oil, off the coast of California or on land in California is used in California. It's used for California.
That's what I heard. Now, did you hear us during the break? That was what we were talking about privately during the break.
I could not hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, so I guess you did say that on the air. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I thought we were talking about that. Yeah, so that was a big surprise to me. So you must have that information from somewhere.
I do. Well, Environment California will have a report out in a couple of weeks, and that information will be there. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
you remember that number.
I mean, I do, and I'm not an expert by any means. I'm an intern, but that, you know, Environment California definitely will have that information.
Well,
I know that you are an expert because you work for the oil company, and so I mean you might know the exact number of how much oil is exported from the U.S.
Well, I can tell you it's zero on balance. If you want to find out, I can tell your listeners where to go. The U.S. Energy Information Administration has a huge database on all of the statistics and facts and figures for the United States energy industry, and there's a whole section there on petroleum. You can go find exactly how much oil was imported or exported in products at any given time. The California Energy Commission has a huge database as well of specific to California. If I can also address this question about the 10-year timeline that we're talking about, and that has been a topic of considerable discussion. One of the unique features that we have in California, as we've been discussing, is an existing infrastructure that has capacity in it today that very likely would reduce that 10-year timeline significantly. Now, a significant part of that timeline is in permitting, and it is incredibly difficult in California to get any energy facility, and certainly oil production facilities, permitted.
Yeah, but in Santa Cruz City or County, it costs more money to get a permit than to build the whole damn construction project.
Well, and that's exactly where the vast majority of that 10 years are. But let's assume you can get the permits in California because we've got the existing infrastructure, the platforms are in place with the technology to drill into new leases, pipelines are in place to bring the product to shore, the onshore processing facilities are in place. So this is not sort of the typical build from scratch scenario. So, I mean, I think people just need to keep that in mind. The real discussion we're having here, and we sort of keep jumping around the edges of it, is we have a tremendous need for energy. We have, through public policies nationally and certainly in California, elected for a variety of reasons to put huge sources of our own energy off limits. And that's resulted in an increasing dependence on oil from foreign sources. That's just the the stark reality we face. And so we have a choice of whether we want to be more responsible and
this is the 5 minute service.
More, I apologize,
frankly, sensible, and begin to develop and use the energy resources that we have here in the United States and in California for the benefit of our own consumers.
There's a pregnant pause. What does that mean? Well, since no one's answering, we'll go to our next caller. Marshall of Lost Landing, you're on.
Hey, Marshall. Okay. I was saying hello.
Hello.
I surfed Hollister Ranch just north of Santa Barbara for about 10 years, mid-70s through the 80s. And the tar used to wash up on the beach. I mean, the derricks are already there. That's the worst part about it, is they are an eyesore. But they're already there. If they wanted to get rid of them, you know, if they tore them down, maybe it would be too expensive to rebuild them. But they're just sitting there waiting to be retapped. And how irrational is this? If these people don't make any sense. Just open that thing up. And then the reason that they said that they were closing them down is because the tar was washing up on the beach. You walk down the beach, you get tar on your feet. It's like, how about we relieve some of that tar and it won't wash up onto the beach? Indians used to use that tar to build their canoes. It's been washing up on the beach for millenniums. And none of this makes any sense. We're gonna ruin the tundra in Alaska by not drilling. Even though the caribou love the pipeline because it's warm. Hello?
We're listening to you, Marshall. We're letting you spout off.
I'm spouting. And let's let the oil derrick spout off.
Okay.
And why are we giving people that want to kill us gazillions of dollars? This does not make any sense.
Well.
And I think you let me say my piece.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For thanking me. Okay, there goes Marshall and Moss Landing. Here comes Don in Scotts Valley. Don, you're on the air. Hello, Don.
Hey, here we are. Sorry about that.
It sounds like Don Cocalis.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Listen, Don, in the exuberant words of Mother Kay, hell no to these oil barons.
Oh.
Look for the consumer side.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what is the consumer side? The consumer side is, we need to have affordable oil.
Santa Cruz is a tourist destination. Don't fool around with our beaches to the oil barons. It's too much to lose. Terrific show.
Thank you. It's been a while since you called, Don Cocal. I heard you a while back. Did you take testosterone or something? Because your voice has dropped about 6 octaves.
So I took Mucinex.
Oh.
But no thanks on that. Listen, we're on our way to pick up Dave Allen, take him to brunch. Where do we take him?
I don't know. There are lots of good places. Yeah, so does he know that you're going to come and pick him up?
Yes, we're en route now to pick the young boy up.
All right.
Listen, have a terrific show,
thank
man.
You. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. There goes Don Cocalis. Zoltan.
Yeah,
our good friend Zoltan.
Yeah, good morning to everybody.
How are you, Zoltan?
Yeah, good. We're still in the bathtub, Mike.
I wish I was, too. That's one thing we have to do. If we ever make any money around this place, we're going to put a nice bathtub here in the talk studio so that we can do the shows from the bathtub.
Oh, good. I will install it for you.
All right, good. You're the guy.
Yeah,
you're the man.
Right.
By the way, when are you going to start running those ads?
Yeah, well, hopefully from next week.
Okay. All right. So, but you called for a different reason.
Yeah, okay. This environment. These people are mentally sick, okay? Well, to all respect
now,
to...
Now, Zoltan.
No.
You be nice to this Francesca here. You think she's mentally sick?
But here it is, Mike. They always talk about, oh, if you don't do this, we're not going to get any oil for 10 years. Well, we have to start, okay? Other than that, you don't want to, you know, educate the kids because they're going to be stupid when they come out of the school anyway, you know? So, but again, okay, to come back to the oil. Yeah, we need more oil, okay? Now, we have, without oil, without coal, without nuclear energy, there's no industry. No industry, there's no prosperity. Try to put the San Francisco or Santa Cruz City Hall on solely on solar power or wind generation, and see if they can turn on their microwave oven or turn on the wash machine or anything like that. It doesn't work. The problem is the environmentalists. They always want to, you know, control somebody. And here was T. Boone Pickett. Okay, he invested close to $2 billion in over 800 windmill generators. Okay, so Obama says, oh, yeah, we need alternate energy. Well, the guy got royally screwed, and all the environmentalists kind of happy that, okay, well, you know, here's somebody with all the big money and finally lost a big chunk of money. We're not going to feel sorry for it. Well, the government doesn't want to put any high-voltage wire to these windmill generators, so all this environmental energy generation is a total crap, total garbage. It's nothing more than trying to control all the energy sources. So this way, just like this healthcare, problem, they just want to control. Because if they control the source of oil, source of energy, the gas, it's easier for the Democrats to collect taxes. And once you control all the sources of energy, then you control everybody's problem. And then what I would do is, if I could, anybody who drives a Volvo or a Subaru or this Toyota, crap, what is it called, the Prius, or Obama sticker.
Yeah, the Prius.
I wouldn't serve them gas as oil. I say you're not for oil, so don't even buy any of the product. And another thing is that. This is environmental. They just hate the profit. And Francesco says, oil company's gonna make profit. Yeah, of course we're gonna make profit. They're jealous. They're 100% jealous. That's killing them. Okay, the Democrats they can't stand anybody with more money.
You're
in their
assuming
pocket.
That Francesca is a Democrat.
Well, she's crying about the oil company's profit. Why doesn't she cry about the a lawyer, how much money they may make, or somebody else is screwing them,
Francesca.
Well, I feel like this was directed towards me particularly, and I'd first like to say that, I am an environmentalist. I love my oceans, but
so do I.
I think as far as my particular political affiliation, I don't think you can extrapolate that from my like in the environment. And I also just want to throw something out there. I think right now we use 25% of the world's oil. And we have 2% of the world's total crude oil. If we max out the entire U.S. oil production, drilled five times as much, we would still use 25% of the world's oil and have hypothetically 10% of the world's oil. And the math in that sense doesn't really add up. So, regardless, we will be bringing in oil from outside sources. We just don't have enough to fuel America on just by itself. And I think you did bring up a really good point, though. I think, we do have this dependence on oil, and I think it's important to look at other options out there. And I don't think oil will fuel us forever. And I think the only way we can really drop gas prices and is through is kind of stopping this kind of dependence on oil, either by taking the bus and just using those kinds of methods to conserve. But I think you did bring up a really good point. I think oil is definitely something that we need, and I don't think it's something that we should completely get rid of at this point. But I do think efforts, if we want to pave a brighter future and if we want to work towards fueling America and decreasing our greenhouse gas emissions, I think we do need to look towards other opportunities of cleaner energy. And I think, I'm not an expert on this for sure, but I just think that I know that, I think that would definitely benefit America.
Nobody wants to pollute the air, pollute the oceans. I'm for it, okay? Now, I see some garbage by the ocean, I pick it up. But all these global warming, morons, why don't you go to China and see how much crap is in the air? I've been to Japan, too. They complain, we have green snow or brownish snow. I said, I was next to Kyoto, and the snow is kind of dark. I said, you people, you signed the Kyoto Agreement. Why don't you go to China to tell them to stop building a new power plant in every week or so.
Again, I think you definitely bring up a good point. A lot of people have been wondering why are we working so hard to decrease our greenhouse gas emissions if India and if China aren't doing anything? What are we going to do? But I think, we definitely serve as a very powerful role model in the world politics,
We could think about taking over China and India.
I feel like that might be in Obama's agenda, but
we think correctly if they don't. Anyhow, I don't know. We're just throwing something.
AMC, this is nothing more than a massive, brainwashing. Here's this, global attack. It's nothing more than a new tax system for the lawyers and the government to have a steady source of income as everybody
you
else.
You could be
back.
Right, but Zoltan, let's keep to the topic if we can.
I know. It all goes back to the oil, okay? We have to drill, off the coast of LA. If they want to drill in front of my house on the beach, I could care less. If they want to, put up a nuclear power plant between Devonport and up north, that's fine. It wouldn't bother me a bit. We need more energy. With the population of California increased by how many millions in the last 20 years. We have 5 million new, illegals here. They all need power. They all need, power to the, drive the tractors, turn on the TV, turn on the wash machine, okay? Now everybody has to, including myself, I'm hanging the clothes out to the, clothesline. I call it the Obama dryer, Because, Sooner as you reach a certain point, level on the electricity, the rate goes 200% up or 300% up. Yeah. All because somebody's trying to control the source of energy and the price of it. And which goes back to the oil, gas.
Well, you're giving me all kinds of ideas for programs. Thank you so much for calling. Always great to hear from you, Zoltan.
Good program. I enjoy it.
Appreciate the kind words and appreciate your participation.
And Kay had a wonderful comment.
Okay, thank you. Here's Dan in Santa Cruz. Dan, welcome to Saturday Special.
I think we should conserve our natural resources as long as possible. And I think foreign oil is good for America. I think it promotes world peace.
I think you're the Dan who called Dr. Corey Gold the other day. Am I right? You must be that Dan.
Yes.
And you're joking, right? You are joking because you wanted to bring a little. You think the program is too serious?
No, you
wanted to introduce some levity. Am I right?
I'm absolutely.
Corey was getting all upset, and I was thinking, Corey, the guy is Dan is obviously just playing with you.
No, I'm serious.
Now you're playing with me.
No, I'm not playing with you. I'm serious. It promotes international trade promotes international relations, which promotes world peace.
You think these people that we are quite dependent upon for oil like us?
I think they're people like us.
They're people like us. Hmm. I'll think about it. I will.
Okay.
I will. All right. Okay. And you're sure you're not joking?
No, I'm not joking at all. I'm completely on the level.
All right. Thank you for calling the Saturday Special. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Rory in Watsonville, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
As a kid, my grandfather had a jar of kerosene at the beach house down in Southern Cal, and there was no drilling. This is way south of the Santa Barbara Channel. But it was there because of the previously mentioned tar balls that roll up on the beach in Southern California from natural
seeps. Get between your toes, and they're too friendly.
Right. They stick to the ball of your foot, and the kerosene was there to help get rid of it. So my question to your oil expert is, doesn't the drilling being done by those 27-plus platforms down in Southern Cal, doesn't that relieve the pressure and take some of that seep and turns it into oil that ends up in refineries and helps us live our lives?
What do you say, Tupper?
Well, there is some research that was done at the University of California, Santa Barbara on that subject, and I think the findings were yes. In fact, if the levels of production adjacent to that most active seep, which is actually right off the coast of the university there, there is a relationship between the amount of oil that was being extracted through the platform there in state waters, the only platform in state waters, and the amount that was seeping. So, yes, there is a localized reduction in seepage because of the production that's taking place.
So it's environmentally sound to drill and get at those oil
sources to just minimize the so-called damage that these seeps are doing to the environment.
Well, I think it's important to recognize, though, that it is apparently, according to the research, a localized effect. So it's not likely that if you are producing oil in 13 or 14 or 20 miles away, you're going to result, you're going to impact the amount that's seeping from a natural seep. If you are producing right within that same production zone, I think that the research shows you can reduce the amount of oil that seeps naturally.
I have a question for Francesca. Francesca, what is your major at the university right now?
I was an econ major, economics.
Economics?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on. Do you happen to worship Gaia by chance? You know who Gaia is?
No, I don't. I don't particularly worship.
Okay, well, check out. You said you're an environmentalist. Go check out the deep ecologist and find out who Gaia is. That's spelled G-A-I-A. And I know you're young. You're not paying taxes yet, so all this sounds good to you. But you wait till you get out. You try and get a job.
I'm paying taxes.
Do you have a full-time job? I'm not talking about the internship. I mean, are you out of school? Did you get your degree already?
You know, I mean, I'd rather right now just, I have graduated. I do have my BA, but I'd rather just stay on topic for the remainder of this.
All right. Well, anyway, live a little more life before you get involved in some of these environmental pie in the sky balonies that promise us a beautiful, clean future when it's really going to be a nightmare of poverty, disease, lower standards of living. If all these things happen that these guys want, it's going to be an unmitigated disaster for the average person in this country. So thank you for taking my call.
There goes Rory in Wattsville. Tupper Hull, do you want to say anything about, do you want to follow up on any of that?
I think I'll let that stand without comment.
Okay, no comment. Now here comes William in Castor Oilville. William, you're on the air.
I'd just like to say I think offshore oil drilling is going to be necessary in the future. I think we should possibly wait until we've dried up the oil reserves in the Middle East, and then there will be less overall resources available, and we might be able to actually enrich our country a bit more and have the resources available to ourselves when we're really going to need them, which is when we run out of oil in other places. I don't see why we'd use up our reserves now when we still have all these resources to gather from other countries. I'd like to hear Tupper's input on it.
What do you think, Tupper?
Well, I mean, I think the question goes to sort of global political stability and our international posture. I think, you know, without my opinion, I think that there is a consensus, a somewhat of a consensus nationally and within the state that dependable and reliable supplies that are not subject to dramatic fluctuations, to political upheavals in parts of the world that we don't control and don't have a lot of influence in, are not good for the American consumer. And the more you can provide stability and long-term reliability, the better off American consumers are going to be. And I think you do that first and foremost by looking at those energy reserves that you can produce safely and with environmental sensitivity here at home to provide that kind of stability.
Okay. I want to give out our phone numbers. No, I mean our phone number one more time. 831, area code 479-1080. And we have one phone line open. It's ringing right now. So pretty well. Anyhow, if you want to call us, you can try calling us, and you might get a busy signal. We're talking about offshore oil drilling on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KS. I want to thank William in Castor Oilville. You take care, William. Thank you for calling. Now that opens up a phone line. And we have Mark in Felton. And we welcome Mark and Felton to the KSCO Saturday Special. You're on.
Hey, MZ. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. Good.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. First off, I think offshore drilling is a good idea. But at the same time, we need to also keep up with the alternative resources as well, because what I don't understand is if people want to do away with dependence on oil, America has such a demand on oil that if we switch all that demand over to, say, electric or to hydrogen, at some point when you have it all of us dependent on one fuel source again, the greediness will kick in, and you're going to have the same problem you have as far as prices. We need to have a diversity of alternative fuels as well as oil so that that can create competition for the oil companies to bring the prices of their oil down if they want to sell their product and compete with the other alternative fuels.
I like that idea.
And
I got to tell you, that's the official. We completely agree with that. This is Tupper Hull. Our position is the future of energy supplies in the United States and California is going to be based on three key principles. One, it's diversification of the energy portfolio. Our companies are investing billions of dollars to research, develop, and importantly, commercialize alternative and renewable energy sources. The second is energy efficiency. I mean, we still have the opportunity to obtain huge energy efficiencies that will save tremendous amounts of energy. And then the third portion of that, as Mark mentioned, is access to our own domestic supplies, fully and responsibly utilizing those supplies that we do have. And those three key elements, we believe, are what are going to sustain the economic prosperity and the standards of living that we've got in the United States and in California.
I actually also agree with the caller. I think diversity is key, especially because there have been a couple studies saying that the amount of oil off of the Santa Barbara coast would allegedly power California for under 2 years. So the wells will dry up eventually, and it's really important that we find other ways to power California.
But I think at the same time, I think that we do still need to get our dependency away from the Middle East on the oil, because, I mean, if they could come out with electric cars that didn't need to be recharged all the time and didn't look like a box with wheels, I think they would sell, and if they can come up with that quick enough, I think they would sell a lot of them. But the problem with electric cars is you got to charge them all the time, and they're ugly. The Americans like
I don't think people mind the ugliness, but I think you're right. As soon as they come up with a car that doesn't have to be charged all the time, even if it is a box.
I think a solar Ferrari would be a total hit.
Pardon me?
A Ferrari that runs on solar would be a total hit.
Yeah.
That's called a Tesla.
MZ?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to talk to you another time off the air. I have an idea that would enable an electric car to not require being charged by stopping and charging the vehicle.
Shoot me an email, Mark.
It would be self-sufficient.
MZ@KSCO.com. Sounds like a great topic, okay?
You know, a big breakthrough in electric car technology is this thin film that has allowed for much, much more efficient use of car batteries was developed by ExxonMobil company.
Oh, thank you.
I have a quick question. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of question, but if the environmentalists are so into wanting to save the planet, which I'm all for, I think it's a great idea, but when you're buying Priuses as fast as they can make them, you're saving by not polluting the air in the vehicle, but how much pollution do those factories that generate those Priuses in those other countries put into the atmosphere?
It's my knowledge that on some of the newer vehicles, they have solar roofs that are, and so a lot of the industries are working with solar to kind of generate that. But I do think that's a really valid point. I think that more technology needs to be invested in and worked for to kind of find other alternatives, because electricity does definitely burn off and emit quite a bit of pollution itself. I mean, my interest is kind of more, I guess, into offshore oil drilling, and I just think that I'd like to see our state move away from that and kind of continue with this incredible green vision that our governor has put forward and is unfortunately kind of flip-flopping on.
But the problem that I see with the environmental aspect of it is the whole greenhouse gas situation is everybody you hear on the radio all the time, the KSDO people talk about it, is if the largest producers of pollution into the atmosphere aren't jumping on board, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot by holding to this environmental and these environmental regulations that we put on the companies in our own country that can't compete with these other countries already, and then you're going to put all these regulations on them, and we're not going to really save anything in the planet by America alone doing it.
Yeah, good point. Hey, Mark, thanks very much. I'll be looking for your email, okay? It was Mark in Felton. That opens up a line at 479-1080. We have a commercial break to do. I also have some emails to read. Let me read a couple of emails real quickly here. Barbara in Capitola writes, in the new state budget, there is no oil extraction tax. California is the only state without it. Why should we let the oil companies take more of our assets without paying for them? Good point.
I'd love to respond.
Okay, go ahead, real quick.
We pay for oil companies pay a lot in taxes in California. There isn't a standard conventional severance tax, but we've done a lot. There's been a lot of studies done. We're right in the middle of the tax burden for oil producing states. California taxes oil production in other means.
Uh huh. Okay. All righty. Thanks for letting us know. Oil seeps in Santa Cruz. This is from Ray in the email to mz@ksco.com. Right here in good old Santa Cruz, there are oil seeps on the north coast. Years ago, the environmentalists complained about the fouling of the beaches south of Major's Creek. The property owners asked for permission to drill. The answer was no, so instead they were required to take action to stop the progress of the oil to the ocean. To this day, the oil is collected, then trucked out of the area for disposal rather than drill and sell it for energy. Only in California would we stop industry from cleaning up natural pollution. Thank you very much, Ray. Vernon, MZ, your oil company guest is one of the few people that I've heard address the true issue that we live in an energy-dependent world. This Saturday special wouldn't be possible without energy. Your guests wouldn't have gotten there without energy. I hear your one guest talking about being an environmentalist, being green. What does she mean by that? Does she drive a car? Does she have a computer? Does she refrigerate her food? Does she use electric lights at night? Or does she go to bed when the sun goes down? If she's wearing clothes, she's wearing implements, uses writing implements, hot water, whatever. She's using energy in one form or another. If we don't get it from carbon-based fuels, we have to get it from someplace. How about nuclear energy? Would that be an acceptable replacement for fossil fuels as a major source of energy? Enough for now. That's from Vernon. Quick response, Francesca, real quick, please, because I've got some others and some commercials.
I definitely, throughout this debate, have not denied the fact that I think we need more emphasis on clean energy, but that I don't think right now, we're obviously not going to do cold turkey switch. And, you know, I do ride my bike, and I do try to conserve as much as I can. I also value our coast, and I really would like to see this moratorium upheld. And I think that is the extent of my response.
And I want you all to know, everybody, the two people in this room, Tupper Hull on the telephone, and all of the thousands of people listening to KSCO right now, that I drive an hybrid. Is it a hybrid or an hybrid? I drive an hybrid vehicle.
I saw it.
And I'm very, very proud to do my share of protecting the environment. Okay, so you're listening to the Saturday special. We've only got 7 minutes remaining, so let's use up some of that time to play the commercials. Thank you, Nikki. Take it away.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business.
Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
I've learned a few things cruising this coastline the last 30 years. Let's be clear about it. Dumping sewage anywhere in our waterways pollutes the environment. It's simple. Remember to plan ahead. Boats with holding tanks must pull in and pump out at shoreside pump-out stations. If you have a boat without a holding tank, plan your trip to use shoreside restrooms.
Don't waste away our waterways. Proper disposal of sewage protects our waterways. Dump at the pump.
Hey, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
For more information, visit our website at boatresponsibly.com. Brought to you by the California Department of Boating and Waterways.
We've been in business for over 41 years by making it easy. Hello, I'm David Baker of Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, your brand source furniture and appliance store in Watsonville. At Baker Brothers, we're always looking for ways to make it easy for you. Listen.
Baker Brothers' sizzling summer sale heats up with Red Hot Savings store-wide. Sofas and love seats set start at only $744.40. Sunny Designs TV consoles from only $249.40. Energy-efficient Whirlpool appliances like a premium side-by-side refrigerator in stainless steel, $1294.40. And stainless steel gas ranges start at only $799.40. Save big at Baker Brothers' sizzling summer sale.
When you need furniture or appliances, Baker Brothers will make it easy for you. Baker Brothers is your brand source store, which means we carry all the top names in furniture and appliances. Come by and visit. We'll deliver today or tomorrow. We are Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, 55 Brennan Street, Watsonville.
Baker Brothers, we make it easy.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Jared, about 5 years, meat department manager. Scotts Valley Meats, where dreams come true. How can I help you? Because we give you exactly what you want at a competitive price. We get seafood delivered 6 days a week. Our crabs are cooked daily. Dry-aged beef case, the only one in Santa Cruz County right now. We dry-age New York strips and ribeyes. A minimum of 14 to 21 days. The longer it's in there, the more the fibers break down in the beef, the more tender and flavorful it becomes.
Mickey, I'm the executive chef. I'm Christy, you know, the owner, gives me a lot of freedom. You know, I get to create my own dishes, so I really like that.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
A proud member of Think Local First, Santa Cruz County.
Sounds like bumper music in the home stretch of the Saturday special. Thank you, Nikki, here. All right. Let's see. There were a couple of emails that I just owe our people who sent them the courtesy of reading them. Hi, MZ. I believe that one of the components of from the oil spill in the 60s was discovered to be a natural occurring oil leakage seepage, and that the pumping of oil actually relieves the pressure causing the seepage. When I was very young, living in Southern California, I remember my grandfather bringing a gallon of kerosene with us when we went to the beach to clean up the globs of tar from our feet before going home. This was in the 1940s, long before any offshore drilling was present. And that's from Alan in Watsonville. Thank you, Alan. Another email here from M. Just plain old M. From M to me, MZ. We have ranch property east of San Ardo. Several years ago, an oil company test drilled. They put a lot of money toward it, thinking they'd strike oil. They didn't. And that's from N. M. He also, M, he or she, whoever M is, says T. Boone Pickens says wind power. For all the constipated, gaseous people, he may be right. Forget the Beano. Ah, M has a sense of humor. How nice. Jeez, we got a minute left. That's it. That's the end of the Saturday special. You can hear it by going to SaturdaySpecial.com on demand. Give me a few hours to get it uploaded. And it will be rebroadcast tonight on your favorite radio station between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. Thank you to Rosemary for coming up with the idea and the topics. Thank you to Nikki. And thanks to all the callers and emailers who participated in the program. So who knows what's going to happen next week. It's going to be August 8th already. How can that be? I can't believe it's August 1st now. But you've been listening to the Saturday Special. Thank you, Francesca. Thank you, Tupper.
Thank you.
And, yeah, we'll see you all next week, I guess, in one way or another. How do we... I have to get this. Oh, here we go. That's all, folks.
That's all,
no? KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon.
Gallagher House Committee's vote on health care reform. President Barack Obama calling the Friday night vote by a final House committee a historic step. It came after several conservative Democrats won concessions that secured their votes on the bill crafted by their leaders. But Republicans continue to slam this proposal. Senator John Thune delivering the weekly GOP address.
Republicans want health care reform that works. Reform that brings down costs for families and small businesses, and reform that provides better care to more people. On all these points, the current proposals by the president and the Democrat leadership in Congress fall short.
The president discussing new numbers on the economy in his weekly address.
The government reports the economy contracted by 1% in the second quarter, better than the 1.5% predicted. Here's the president's take on it.
Many economists suggest that part of this progress is directly attributable to the Recovery Act. This and the other difficult but important steps that we've taken over the last 6 months have helped put the brakes on this recession.
The president also warned the monthly jobs report out next week will show that the country is still losing far too many jobs. In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News.
A man's criminal prank causing the shutdown of a New York City airport's main terminal for hours today. Police say he walked in with a bag filled with components that looked like a bomb.
32-year-old Scott McGann facing multiple charges. Authorities say he had a ticket on a United Airways flight that would ultimately have brought him to Oakland. The thing in the guy's bag consisted of a few batteries and wires, but it wasn't dangerous. Police swept the terminal anyway, just in case. Karen Regal, Fox News Radio.
Religious violence in eastern Pakistan. As witnesses say, hundreds of Muslims attacked Christians, burning and looting their homes. Local officials say at least six Christians were killed. A minister says it started when shots were fired on what had been a peaceful Muslim rally. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now, Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions, and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
Three U.S. deaths in southern Afghanistan today. The military says two roadside bombs are to blame. The troops patrolling the Kandahar province at the time. Three U.S. citizens arrested after crossing into Iran from Iraq. This from an Iranian state TV report.
A Kurdish security official has said police had warned the Americans not to cross the border. A senior American official says the U.S. embassy in Baghdad is looking into the case.
Officials in Iraq described the three as tourists who made a mistake in a mountainous area. The State Department is seeking details through Swiss officials as Switzerland represents U.S. interests in Iran. What many conservatives call another government handout is a big hit with many Americans.
If you want to get cash for your clunker, you better head to the dealer right now. After this weekend, the billion-dollar program may be yanked. It was supposed to last through the fall, but was so popular it blew through that billion in a week. The way it works is, if you trade in your old gas guzzler for a more efficient vehicle, you can get up to $4,500. But dealers say submitting the paperwork online is a nightmare. And since they pay out the rebate on the spot but don't get reimbursed by the government until later, dealers worry they might be on the hook for the money. The House put up another $2 billion for the program. The Senate takes that plan up in a week.
In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News Radio.
And in exchange for his trouble in helping catch a robbery suspect, a Seattle bank teller's in some trouble of his own now.
Jim Nicholson, who worked at the Key Bank branch, chasing down a man who he says tried to rob his bank and losing his job for his efforts. Nicholson says he understands the bank's policy that employees comply with robbery demands, but told the Seattle Times his instincts took over when the man demanded money during the incident Tuesday. The 30-year-old chased the man for several blocks before knocking him down with help from a passerby. He then held the suspect until police arrived. No comment from bank officials, but police say they advised tellers against acting against robbers. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
And I'm Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
Actually, it's good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. And your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. We are supposed to be getting some sunny skies here soon. The clouds should be clearing up. We're going to have a high of 69. The west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 53. West-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 69. And I also have your boaters forecast for the Monterey Bay. West winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds, and patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 10 to 20 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight, wind waves 2 to 4 feet.